Earth-Shatteringness, the program devoted to the largest segment of society. To those of you who realize that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us, 877-376-45. As usual, there are more topics to demystify than there is time in this program. Allegations of excessive force against minorities are mounting against the South Carolina police officer recently caught on video fatally shooting not only an unarmed suspect, Walter Scott, but doing so 8 times in the back when Walter Scott had not committed a crime. It's as if police officers believe that the rest of the world must obey their every word, as if they were God. What they say must be done, or they have the right to take your life. Even God doesn't go that far. And yet, that is the attitude of today's police officers. And it's pervasive. And folks, a couple of days ago, we were talking about the Patriot Act being the single greatest calamity perpetrated on the American people in recent times. And what I said is that it had created a second military, an institution pervasive in America that is going to be deployed against Americans, is being deployed against Americans, that has the exact same mantra that is being justified for exactly the same reason as the Department of Defense. So we're going to have two of them. One, evidently, to keep America safe, to maintain our liberties. So what is the other for? Well, in this particular case, a man named Julius Wilson alleges in a new lawsuit that he was tased by Officer Michael Slager last August when laying face down on the pavement. This attitude of superiority, you will lay face down in the dirt. Why, I rob you of your freedom and I humiliate you. It's the very essence of Islam. It is the very essence of lords. It is exactly what tyrannical dictators demand. It is what people do in the Roman Catholic Church in the presence of popes where they bow and kiss his ring. You lay down in the dirt while I stand. You must be disarmed while I hold a gun to you or a taser to you. And we're only going to do this under asymmetrical force, again, like Islam. Muslims don't attack those who can defend themselves. They attack those who are defenseless. The same thing is true now with the attitude of America's national police. The North Carolina police officer, who is white, which is irrelevant, was terminated and charged with murder last week after a bystander's video captured him firing 8 shots at Scott at a traffic stop. It isn't our Scott, but a different Scott. The 50-year-old unarmed black man was running from the officer when he was struck 4 times in the back and once in the ear, which means that he was at a distance where this officer, Slager, missed him 4 of the 8 shots and nicked him on 1 of them. Why would you shoot a man who was so far from you and running in the opposite direction, who was at a distance that half of your shots didn't even hit him in the back?
And the other thing here is that if he missed with 4, that means there's 4 stray bullets that went off and could have hit anything.
And a populated area.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You know, there's a bystander filming this. You're risking other people's lives because a man wouldn't obey your order? A man who was guilty of a traffic violation, his taillight was inoperative.
And the law in that state actually says you only have to have 1 working taillight as well.
And so he wasn't even in violation of the law?
Nope.
and he's pulled over, and he's murdered by a police officer because the police officer thinks that you have to obey him. And then in standard police form, the officer lies and said, well, I had to shoot him because he was reaching for my taser and was going to use it on me. Yeah, right. On Monday, Wilson and his attorneys met with reporters on the steps of City Hall to hand out copies of their lawsuit. In my lifetime, I have witnessed violent acts by police officers. So have we all. Wilson, a 35-year-old with a prior criminal record, reports. Yeah, guess what his criminal record was? Resisting arrest. Wouldn't you? I mean, under these circumstances, these guys are crazed. They're murderous. They're abusive. Would you surrender your freedom so that they can shoot you in the back? So they can tase you? So they can humiliate you? I mean, America is now a land of fear. Oh, and they say, you know, but you don't do anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. What do these guys do wrong? What do these guys do wrong? If you have nothing, if you do, that was always the excuse when I said I have no respect for authority, and authority is abusive in this country. And those who would counter that, who like, who are comfortable, and there's, by the way, majority of people are comfortable under tyranny. They feel secure. And they always say, if you don't do anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. Exactly the opposite is true. Without proof of such, let me just finish this one sentence, Scott, and then I want your comments. Without proof of such acts, the word of police officers is always taken over the word of the victims who are forced to endure their violent acts. We're back to the world of Islam. In Islam, the victim of rape is flogged and imprisoned. In Islam, the victim's word is never considered, always the perpetrator's. And so here in the world of America that is shadowing Islam, we have the victimizers being given all manner of credibility, afforded all manner of credibility, while their victims are further abused, as was the case here, where with Schlager, he'd suffered no ill effects from what he did to this man. And the victim, his victim that he abused, was charged with resisting arrest and convicted. What were you going to say, Scott?
I was going to say that you were talking about, you know, these guys are people are okay with this stuff. And what are these guys doing wrong? This Scott, he just didn't want to get tased.
Right.
The guy was trying to tase him, and he said, no, don't.
No, I don't want to be tased.
I don't want to be tased. And
it's just
and
like
then,
you or me. If a cop told you to lay down sprawled in the dirt,
well,
are you going to lay down and sprawl yourself out in the dirt?
If let's look at it this way. So that the cop said that he got his taser, and mm-hmm. he tried to plant the taser next to him.
Yes.
So in that video, obviously the cop was never tased, because
right.
you don't see the cop getting up off the ground.
No.
And so this guy was trying to get his taser. He got it. You know, if you just take the cop's word, he got his taser, and then he started running away.
The video, by the way,
Well, no, the video shows that that Scott, Walter Scott never once picked up the never had the
never
taser.
Reached for never reached it. Never made any attempt at the cop's taser. That the that they had a. There was a demeaning exchange between the cop and Scott, and when the cop went back to his car, and Scott says, you know, this guy's dangerous. I need to get out of here, and he made a dash for it. At which time the officer yelled, you know, stop, get on the ground, recognizing that was a dangerous thing to do, continued to run and he shot him in the back.
The kid that filmed it said that the cop tried to tase Scott, and that there was a struggle. And he goes, Scott was trying to keep the taser away from him, And then as soon as he got away, he got away from the cops. The kid said that he came over, saw him arguing, and then as soon as they started struggling, that's when he pulled out his camera.
Yeah. That reminds me of, I have an employee that served a time in jail for brandishing a weapon. And he was in with the wrong crowd. His mother was a problem. His girlfriend was a problem. And he drank too much. All bad things. And he's corrected all of those things. He doesn't drink at all anymore. He has a really wonderful girlfriend at this point, and for the most part stays away from the influence of his mother. And he was had been called by his girlfriend over to her apartment, and. As was the case, he either had access to or brought an unloaded handgun, and he drank too much, and she said something that upset him, and he picked up the handgun, and she called not just the police, but a particular cop, and the cop she called, she had an affair with. She was not an affair; they weren't married. My employee and this girl, but she and the cop. Had a sexual relationship. And so the cop shows up to abuse his rival, my employee. And he not only tased him repeatedly, he said, I'm of a mind to just shoot you right here. Turns out the cops had all sorts of encounters. He's the kind of cop that video has shown pulling people over because he didn't like them, kicking out a taillight, and then abusing them while he arrests them for having a broken taillight. This story never made the news. In fact, when the cop provided the testimony at my employee's trial, was never mentioned that he was there because he was in a sexual relationship with the girl. They just lie. It's their first instinct is to lie. Well, their first instinct is to be violent, is to control everyone, to pretend like their words are God's and that they have the power over life and death. And the second is to be violent, and the third is to lie about the whole situation. It's repulsive what's happened to this country. Welcome back to the Shattering Mist. There's so much more to this story. Let me share a little bit more from the article, and then we'll comment on it. On Monday, as they said, Wilson, through his attorneys, met with reporters. Now, he's the one that accused Slager of tasing him. And this is the key line, and folks, you need to take this one to heart. In my lifetime, I have witnessed violent acts by a police officer. Without proof of such acts, the world's police officer's word is always taken over the victims who are forced to endure their violent acts. Now, here's the story in this particular case. According to the lawsuit, Wilson was headed to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. This was in 2014, August, when Officer Brad Woods stopped him for a bad brake light. Once again, the same situation. Wilson contends that he presented Woods with a valid Georgia driver's license. But while checking his background, the officer called for backup. After 10 minutes, Slager joined Woods, who went to Wilson's door and asked him to step out of the car to discuss his suspended South Carolina driver's license. Now, he gave him a Georgia driver's license, which was valid. Wilson said he intended it. He initially refused because he, in fact, had a valid Georgia driver's license. When Wilson didn't comply, Woods told the driver he was under arrest, but didn't say why. "What am I being put under arrest for, officer?" he asked the patrolman, who began to forcibly pull him out of the car from behind the wheel. Wow. A struggle ensued. Of course. What are you going to do under those circumstances? Police are crazy. They're perverted. They're dishonest. They're aggressive. They're violent. They're murderous. A struggle ensued. Slager yelled at Wilson and was reaching for something that Slager yelled that Wilson was reaching for something in the car. That's always their excuse. Always. Oh, he was reaching for something. That's why we had to tase him. That's why we had to shoot him. Woods then drew his gun and pointed it at Wilson for about 5 seconds until Wilson let go of the steering wheel and laid prone on his stomach. That's what they want. You lay prone on the stomach. It gives them a sense of superiority. These are people with inferiority complexes that seek the authority that a gun and a badge gives them and the ability to order others to grovel at their feet. It's a disease that's pervasive. So here he lay prone on his stomach in the dirt. Wilson told reporters in Charleston that he was searching for his cell phone and stopped resisting when Woods brandished a .45 caliber Glock. Cell phone against Glock. There you go. Yeah, justification for forcing the man, yanking him from a car, putting him under arrest for and not even stating the reason, and then holding a gun to his head because, by God, that cell phone. Can you only imagine how lethal that could be? Clemens and Woods had their knees buried into Wilson. You imagine, you're laying already prone on the ground. You're being arrested and abused by cops for no reason. And they put their knees then in your back and are trying to handcuff you. When Slager, standing above them, orders his colleagues to look out. He says, back up, I'm going to tase him. Then he shouts, taser, taser, before hitting Wilson in the back at point-blank range. Oh! Shoot a mungo. That wasn't exactly the direct quote here. Wilson claims in the video. The lawsuit alleges he then writhed in pain as Slager threatened him with another round of high voltage. Turn over so I can tase you again, Slager says in the video. This is revolting. This is perverted. This is just another picture of what's wrong with America. Slager's personnel files released by the department last week show he was trained to carry a Taser X26. The gun that discharges 50,000 volts and will immobilize a person up to 15 feet away. The lawsuit says that Wilson was offered medical treatment at the scene, but they declined to get out of the patrol car because of Slager's continued threats. On the video, Woods can be heard telling his superior that Wilson almost got shot because he resisted and started reaching for something in the center console. Wow, the charge against Wilson for driving with a suspended license was dropped. Dateline, Abuja, Nigeria. President Muhammadu Buhari said on Tuesday that he could not make any promises regarding the return of 219 schoolgirls. They were kidnapped by Islam, Boko Haram, as the country marked the first anniversary of their abduction. Oh, yeah, where's the Mrs. Obama's little sign? They remember she had the little sign. I forgot what it, you know, we are them, or somehow, free the little girls. Oh, yeah, America, free the little girls. We're going to go bomb the Islamic State, and we're going to go arm the Shia militants representing Iran so we can have both sides be murderous there. But what are we going to do? Well, we'll send in maybe some advisors. What do the world do? Nothing. Amnesty International said that since the start of last year, another 2,000 little girls have been kidnapped by the militants. They forgot to say Islamic in front of the militants. The UN and African rights groups also called for an end of the targeting of boys and little girls in the conflict, which has left 15,000 dead, 1.5 million people homeless, and 800,000 of those little children. Okay, UN and African rights groups, when you say that you want an end to the targeting of boys and girls in the conflict, are you suggesting that the Nigerian government is targeting little boys and little girls, that there's tit for tat, and that the African government is trying to recruit 10-year-old boys with candy and giving them AK-47s and telling them, go kill your parents? Are you telling me that the African government in Nigeria is kidnapping the little girls and selling them as sex slaves? Or are you just afraid to say that these Islamic militants of Boko Haram have continually kidnapped and armed little boys and told them to go kill their families, and that they continue to kidnap thousands of little girls and use them as sex slaves, and that this is the result of tolerating Islam? It's just like the Arab-Israeli conflict and an end to the cycle of violence with the two-state solution. The idiots who write of such things, who speak of such things, haven't a clue that the perpetrator is always the same. The victim is always the same. The abuser is always the same. It's Islam. And when Islam is given credibility, as in this is a conflict between two sides with a legitimate disagreement, with both sides acting badly, then we find ourselves in a situation where thousands of little girls are kidnapped and used as sex slaves, and no one does a thing to help them. The girls who actually were left to die, tied to trees, naked, said that they were raped up to 15 times a day and then beaten in between the rapes. That's the nature of Islam. That's why it is, why there is only one proper response to this criminal enterprise. That's to use words to condemn it, to declare it illegal, to quarantine it. Pathetic. 1.5 million people homeless, 800,000 of them children, 15,000 people are dead. And there isn't anybody with the intelligence, the courage, the compassion, the wisdom to declare that this is the result of tolerating Islam. I want to finish the story that we began with Jokar Shanarev's mommy. My sons are innocent. Remember, she began by saying, my sons are innocent as all of those who are being killed by your country. When we read that, I pointed out it's true. America has killed thousands, not hundreds of thousands of innocent people. And it's killed thousands, if not tens of thousands of people who were civilians, who were never tried, who did not attack America, who had nothing to do with America. Hundreds of thousands of them. You know, when it comes to belligerents, America has killed 4,000 civilian Muslims with drones, all of which are civilians. We use our military the way that Muhammad used his militants, to attack those who are essentially civilians going about their lives. 4,000 with our drones. Were any of them indicted? Maybe a handful. Were any of them tried? Not one. Were any of them convicted? Not a single one. Control over life and death, done from remote control by missiles fired off of drones. Not in America. Oh, no, far, far away. The people's crimes for being religious. No, the religious is perverted. The religion is deadly. The religion is destructive. But does that give America the right to kill Muslims? And I tell you that when you do that, when you think that you're making, when you believe that your government is making you more secure by going off and killing religious zealots, the opposite is true. The Muslim sentiment is that we're killing innocents and that they therefore are justified in killing and mutilating us in return. And to some degree, by some standards, particularly by the standard of Islam, they are. You make a situation worse when you revert to bullets and bombs. When you lie about the motivations, the cause and consequence of harm, and then you fight harm with harm, you make the situation worse. There is no way for us to intervene in the Islamic world and produce a favorable result when Muslims make statements like, today they are killing Muslims and tomorrow they will come and it'll be your turn. And whoever doubts this is deeply mistaken. How can a mother feel whose son is in the claws of a predator preparing to tear them apart and tear them to pieces like meat? When religion upends people's perspective, such that those who used a bomb to tear the flesh of innocent people apart as if they were pieces of meat, to that being perpetrated on them when it was not. This is the opposite of what occurred. Literally the opposite. Tearing someone's body apart like it was a piece of meat is the very thing that these Shanarif brothers confessed to, which they have been shown by irrefutable evidence to have done. And yet, Mommy Shanarif, being a good Muslim mommy, is blaming the victims. It's the world of Islam. They will pay for my sons and the sons of Islam permanently, and the tears of their mothers will be the fuel for them in hell. Imagine that. These two boys deliberately, purposefully mutilate 300 innocent people. In the name of Islam, they kill three. Blowing limbs off of people, mutilating their bodies, ripping the flesh from the bones. They do so deliberately and purposefully. And yet this mother doesn't cry for the victims, the innocent. She cries for the perpetrators. And say that Muslims will cry for the perpetrators and the victims. Ah, that their tears will be fuel to burn the victims in hell. How do you reason with a person perverted by such a horrid religion? How do you reason with them? How do you establish a peace with those who see those who rip you to pieces as being martyrs? Why does anyone believe that America can intervene in an Islamic country where the preponderance of people are poisoned this way and achieve a positive result? Or that by killing them, that we will achieve a positive result? We play right into Islam's hands when we act criminally. When we kill without due process. When we kill without trial and conviction. When we invade other countries based on lies, we play right into Islam's hands. It was born as a criminal enterprise. It was born as a declaration of war against all humankind. It was born as a terrorist manifesto. Nothing more. And when we respond in kind, we play right into their hands. That's why the Islamic State continues to spread around the globe. We exacerbated the problem, literally poured fuel on the fire by invading Afghanistan, Iraq, by bombing Libya, by arming the militants on both sides around the world, by flying our drones over Yemen, by flying our drones over Pakistan. We exacerbated the problem when we invaded Somalia, when we armed Turkey and Egypt and Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. And we still don't understand. She went on to say, "Their blood, I am doubtless and eternally glad that I know is from the words of their Creator, not just anyone's words." Their blood was from Allah. Their blood was from Allah. You see, Allah claims that He created mankind from a coagulated drop of blood. Well, that was one of the 20 explanations, all of which were in conflict with reality and with themselves in the Quran. Mami Shinarim, who was the bomb manufacturing facility, see, they're a little behind in the Islamic world. It's all because of Islam. In Islam, you know, I've said repeatedly, they don't make anything that sells on the international market. There's not a single university that would be among the top 100 in the world. There's not a single vibrant economy. There isn't that's for anything other than extracting black ooze out of the ground. There's no freedoms. And so when I say they don't manufacture anything that sells on the international market, that's a little bit misleading. And that they absolutely do make something, but it's more primitive. The womb of a Muslim mother manufactures the arms that jihadists use to kill. Mami Shinarif manufactured terrorists. Mami Shinarif is responsible for the mutilation of 300 to 400 Boston Marathon runners and spectators, and the murder of 3. Muslim mothers manufactured the suicide bombers of 9/11. She said, "The terrorists are the Americans, and everyone knows it. My son is the best of the best." From her perspective, she's right. Now, I'm not going to argue that everyone knows that America is the terrorists. The fact is that if you go back to World War II, America used terrorism as the primary tactic to win that war. Primary tactic, not a secondary tactic. It was a primary tactic. Yeah, we fought against the Germans for a few months. And we fought against the Japanese in naval battles and in marine battles for meaningless islands for a couple of years. But ultimately, it was our bombing of civilian cities, murdering women and children, that took their toll. Now, beyond that, she says, "My sons are the best of the best." It is the statement I've tried to drum into people's minds now for the past decade. All good Muslims are terrorists. 99% of the world's terrorist acts today and for the last decade have been perpetrated by Muslims. 99%. All good Muslims are terrorists. You can be a bad Muslim and then therefore fall under the title hypocrite, which according to the Quran causes you to be an apostate and no longer a Muslim, and to be a peaceful, moderate person. But you're not a Muslim according to the Quran, according to Allah. If you are a Muslim, according to Allah, you must be a jihadist. You must follow Muhammad's example. And Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist. all good Muslims are terrorists. Her sons were the best of the best. A former Black Hawk guard has been sentenced to life in prison and three others to 30 years over the killing of 14 Iraqi civilians in 2007. By the way, when it says Iraqi civilians, 100% of those killed by America's Army units, Air Force units, Naval units, Marines, in that war, 100% of them were civilians. They were all civilians. We didn't fight Saddam Hussein's army. We fought civilians. We killed civilians. And while the civilians that the Blackwater Guard killed included women, children, and the elderly, and while they were all unarmed, and while the killings were wholly and completely unprovoked, they were just a murderous rampage by perverted men. For the most part, everyone that America killed in that war, I mean, not for the most part, everyone we killed were civilians. And it was asymmetric in the sense that America was dropping bombs from advanced bombers and aircraft, firing at long range, had vastly more powerful weapons than did their assailants, the most religious of the Iraqis. Nicholas Slatin and three others were convicted last year for the killings in Baghdad's crowded Nisour Square. A further 17 Iraqis were injured as the private contractors opened fire to clear the way for a U.S. convoy. Yeah, just blow them away. Convoy's coming through. We're hired to guard the convoy. We didn't have military units. We hired Blackwater to do it. Let's just shoot them all. Dead men can't shoot back. There you go.